Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Another Friday is upon us. It is one more wake-up until Ohio State, Ohio, and then a long day of preparation for that 7 o'clock primetime game in the Horseshoe. The beat is fired up for some bold predictions. I can't even talk. I'm so excited. Jeremy Birmingham is here. I am Austin Ward. There's nothing better than a primetime in-state showdown, is there, Berm?
Yes, there is. A primetime out-of-state showdown against like a good program that actually would bring the juice is actually better than this one. Although, let's be honest. The fact is, Ohio fans are going to show up. It's going to be a good night. I like games like this because neither side really hates each other. It's like most Ohio fans are also Ohio State fans, and most Ohio State fans are at least a little bit rooting for the in-state MAC schools to be successful as much as they can be when they're not playing Ohio State. So it should be a good vibe. We know that the Bobbies like to party, so I expect that campus will be rocking and rolling by the time, you know, noon or 1 o'clock rolls around, and should be a good 6 hours or so of lathering up, and it should be a good crowd. And again, all I really want, if I have one bold prediction to start this show, is that Brutus walks out however they introduce Brutus this week, that it involves him stalking Rufus the Bobcat and eventually just beating the living tar out of him.
I think he should decapitate Rufus. Like, we've already seen the duck head come off this year, right? There has
like
to
be a Highlander type thing. Like, there can only be one.
There has to be retribution. This cannot stand for Brutus.
Yeah,
this
is 15 long years.
He's the mascot of this state.
He's the mascot of record.
It's the Buckeye State. He is the Buckeye. He cannot let this Bobcat come into the Horseshoe and punk him like that. It's been standing for 15 years. And there's got to be like a skit, right, Berm? You've been down there. You've seen some of the stuff they've been doing with the mascots and playing around with the opponents these first couple of weeks to juice him.
You got to juice him up.
Got to put a goose suit on him. They've been leaning into that. There's got to be some callback to the first match between these two.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I don't know when they do it. I don't know where they do it, but I know darn well that if Brutus doesn't stand up for himself and get back what is his after what happened 15 years ago, I think then Ohio State at that point essentially just like surrenders the high ground in the state to Ohio, regardless of what happens in the 60 minutes of the game.
All right, so that's the undercard. The main event, of course, will be the Scarlet and Gray versus the Bobcats, the reigning Mid-American Conference champions. Congratulations to them for that accomplishment a year ago. Won't mean anything on Saturday night against the reigning national champions. But we have a 33.5 point spread in this game, Berm. And as you have rightfully pointed out, we are doing the scores right up front on bold predictions. We have both projected Ohio State covers in each of the first two games, and we have been right both times. What are you expecting on Saturday in primetime?
I'm taking an Ohio State cover and the over, because the last I saw the over under was 53.5. I'm going to stick at 45-10, Buckeyes.
45-10. That sounds about right. I was in the neighborhood of 45 points for Ohio State as well. But since you have claimed that as your own, I will say 48-7 Ohio State in this game. So lots of opportunities for touchdowns, lots of good defense. And you are starting with an offensive bold pick.
Yeah, but I think it's important that we start this by making sure we read the titles, because this Brandon Innes bold prediction is meant to be shared with a little bit of a British accent, okay?
And otherwise, yeah, why wouldn't it be?
Time for a breakout, Innes, right? You like my accent's not great today, but that's
today it's not great.
Innes, right? Innes, I'm glad you put me on the block first here, because you know you're talking about not wanting to take my score prediction. On the morning prior to our recording this, I asked you for you know some insight into what you wanted to do for the show, and you said Max Clare. I had already made the cover of the podcast for the day with Max Clare on it, because he was going to be my first pick for the bold piece. Because on Wednesday night at the Woody, I did try and get a little research, a little research to stick with the English connotations and dictation. And I asked Max, I said, hey, yo, straight up, like, can we talk about your day on Saturday? And
you said, yo, straight up.
Yeah, I was like, yo, straight up, Maxie K, is this your weekend? Because I know Ryan Day told you on the notebook on Saturday night after the game against Grambling that they really had some stuff in there for Max Clair to have a bigger output. He had one catch. He had one catch against Texas. My bold prediction was that he was going to have four catches in the first quarter to double his season total. And that would obviously going to include his first touchdown at Ohio State. But you're going to take Max Clair. So I'm not going to take Max Clair.
Okay.
But
you're just going to talk about all the things that I was going to talk about.
Yeah, but I think that Max Clair is – Max Clair and Brandon Ennis to me are like – oddly interchangeable in this offense and what I at its peak and at its like top performing output of where I think Ohio State's offense can go. I think those two pieces can be interchangeable. But I think Brandon's going to have a two touchdown game and maybe one of them will be a long one. Ohio State has tried to get him the ball quickly in, against Grambling. They opened up the game, getting him the ball and getting him involved. I just think it's his time for a big game. I'm going to have a five catch, 110 yard, two touchdown game for Brandon Ennis to welcome him into the zone six of it all, because it's, we've seen Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith get the majority of the work and statistical output over the last 2 weeks. It's time for Brandon to go. So five catch, 110, two tutty for Brandon Ennis on Saturday, including one touchdown of over 45 yards.
Ooh, I was going to ask if one of those was going to be a little pop pass action.
Well, no, if I'm being honest with myself and with America, one of the touchdowns I think may very well be a punt return, because I believe that Brandon Ennis is one of those guys that not only hears the outside noise, but gets motivated by it. And is the like, oh, you're going to talk crap about me, I'm going to show you type. Yeah. So I'm not going to be surprised if he pops one for a touchdown, but I'm not willing to go to that degree in the actual BP.
Yeah, he's definitely got that Michael Jordan. I took that personally in him. That's a part of Brandon Ennis's fire. I think that's not a secret. It's also not a secret that my first bold prediction is about Max Clair. And as you alluded to, Berm, there weren't many players that Ryan Day specifically named in the notebook in a conversation that I had with him after the game last week. And frankly, I was surprised that he went almost out of his way to talk about Max Clair then. And then during his press conference, the weekly one in the team room on Tuesday, he referenced, you know, that training camp was maybe a little bit more challenging for him. I think even going back to spring ball, we're like, okay, this is not unusual. The acclimation period when you come from another program. And I don't think that Max Clair arriving from Purdue is all that dissimilar from Will Kazmarek coming from Ohio, if I'm being honest. Like the bottom of the Big Ten, that does sound like an insult. And in some ways, it is an insult to Purdue. But like you're just not facing.
The shoe fits.
It's the reality of the situation. The practice grind, the weight room grind, the talent of the defense that you're facing every day throughout a training camp is different at Ohio State than virtually anywhere else, and certainly different compared to Purdue. So there's no disputing that part. But for Ryan Day to, I think, be pretty transparent about that, that there were conversations and that Max Clair was adjusting to that, he's got to get to the consistent level the Buckeyes expect. I think once that clicks into gear, we've seen Max Clair be productive. For a bad Big Ten team, but certainly productive and capable of, you know, piling up catches and working in the slot and winning matchups against linebackers or safeties. Like, if once that starts happening for Ohio State, then you might see an uptick in these numbers, because certainly the Buckeyes have shown no hesitancy to put tight ends in the game and to use them quite heavily. I think that this will start for Max Clair. If those were designed a week ago and they just weren't quite there, there will be an opportunity to do that again against Ohio. All of this, again, with an eye towards those three road games in 4 weeks that are coming up after the off date for the Buckeyes. And I think this will be that confidence-building opportunity for Max Clair. It'll be designed, and I think it will be capitalized by Max Clair. I have five catches, let's say 68 yards and two touchdowns for Max Clair.
I asked him straight up. I said, hey, you know, how can we know that today is going to be your day on Saturday? What give me a sign. Give me something that you're going to like a formation, a play call, something that's going to be like, okay, we're trying to get it to Max. And he said, you guys know just as much as I do. I'm just trying to make a play. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I don't buy it, but it is important to understand.
You were expecting Max Clair to give you the game plan for this week?
Yeah, I mean, I asked him. I told him that it was four bold predictions, and I told him I was trying to get some inside information, and he just did not want to play along. So one day, the Ohio native Max Clair will play along.
He will. And we're still waiting for that. For that interview on the Austin and Berm show that you promised.
Yeah, well, that has to happen. That has to happen. I think Saturday after this game on the notebook is the best time to introduce him after he scores a couple touchdowns. But
would you boldly predict if you're going to handle the camera on Saturday?
I can't make such predictions at this point. But what I will say is this. Ohio has beaten more FBS teams or as many FBS teams in the last week as Purdue has in the last 13 games. So It's not a far cry to suggest that their programs are at a similar footing at the moment. And Barry Odom is going to do a fine job at Purdue. I'm sure of it, but the build.
You're back, sure of it.
Yeah. He's a good coach. And the build back is going to take a little bit longer. If Danny Hope could win there, if Joe Tiller could win there, Barry Odom can win there. That's all I'm saying. But he's not going to win this week.
Besmirch the honor of Joe Tiller. Okay. Wyoming.
I would never dismirch. Or besmirch. I'd never smirch him either. Sonny Styles is going to smirch Parker Navarro this week, though. That's what I know. And it's a night game, but it's Sonny's day, as it says on the screen. Parker Navarro, here's the thing. Ohio has actually thrown the ball with Parker Navarro 31 times in each of the last 2 weeks, which is a pretty healthy offensive attack, pretty balanced. They're trying to keep teams off kilter, and he's thrown it 31 times in each of the first 2 weeks. He's completed 70% of his passes, but he threw three interceptions in the second half last week. And all that doesn't matter, because the way that Parker Navarro is going to have any chance to impact this game is with his legs. Ohio State is going to play pretty, I think, conservative when it comes to the pass rush from the outside, from the edge rushers. And that means a guy like Sonny Styles, and to a lesser degree, and for this bold prediction's sake, Arvell Reese is going to have an opportunity to make plays and put hits on Parker Navarro. And I think that Sonny Styles is going to have two sacks in this game. I think he's going to have a forced fumble, and I think he's going to have an interception. I think that we are going to see a day where Sonny Styles is going to be allowed to roam free and follow Parker Navarro, him and Arvell Reese. Might be a race. Like, it's a race to get better that Ryan Day keeps talking about. Ooh, yeah. But it might be a race to make Parker Navarro worse on Saturday, because there's a chance that Parker Navarro comes out of this game early. That's all I'm going to say. I just don't know that you can withstand the physicality of Sonny and Arvell over and over.
When you and I walked over to talk to Sonny after practice on Wednesday, and you said, yo, straight up, what's with the tape on the gloves? Were you trying to factor that into bold peas?
A little bit. I wanted to make sure there was nothing going on hand-wise, because we've seen Ohio State linebackers in the last couple of years, regular hand issues. It's part of the gig when you're hand fighting and punching footballs and all of the things that come with it. But he said he was just doing it for some support on the wrist to make sure that he doesn't get hurt. So that opened the door for me. He's 100%. He's ready to go. And I think Sonny, again, two sacks, forced fumble, interception in this game against Parker Navarro. And I will say Parker Navarro has run for 180 yards on 27 carries in his first 2 weeks. He will not run for more than 40 yards against Ohio State.
Ooh, that's a little drill down. A bold pee. Speaking of rushing the football, that has been the topic for Ohio State this week on offense, probably for the entire program. We spent more time breaking down the last carry of the day for Bo Jackson and speculating on is it being blocked up well enough up front. It certainly sounds like Ryan Day is confident. Austin Servelde felt very good that there have been holes for Ohio State to exploit for the tailbacks. It just hasn't quite been as explosive as they want. So I feel like all of the conversation from Ohio State has been geared towards getting these running backs to tap into that potential. And so I believe we talked about it on Three Things Thursday and Snap Judgments, basically everywhere all week, that I think this will be a game plan that is emphasizing the ground game. And even though we've spent so much time talking about C.J. Donaldson and the 2,000 career yards and working at a Power 4 level and Bo Jackson looking for an opportunity and the explosiveness that he did show on those first eight carries, somehow James Peoples has sort of been overlooked in this sandwich throughout this week. And I think he's the one who might really capitalize on the opportunity right here. You know, I think we've pointed out that there were rushing lanes available to him, cutback opportunities, and maybe that the vision and the speed of the game, like he wasn't just quite ready for that against Texas in week one. But I don't think that means that you're just going to punt on the career of James Peoples. All the things that we've talked about for the previous 12 months and his upside, his athleticism, the speed, the burst. I think once he gets more comfortable with what is being required and he has more of these reps built up under his belt, you're going to start to see him find another gear. And I think that that will happen starting on Saturday. So I think that he's going to be the only Ohio State running back to go over 100 yards. I think he's going to get over 120 yards. And I think he will also score two times. So I think this is the week that maybe we start to see a little bit of pulling ahead for James Peoples. I still really like James Donaldson. I don't believe personally at this point, did get a question on Thursday on Letterman Row that tied into this about if Bo Jackson and Isaiah West were pushing and at some point they could surpass C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples. I don't believe that's going to happen. I think that as the season goes on, you're going to see both C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples improve. And whether they get fully to the Travion and Quinshon level, I don't know. But they need time just as much as Bo Jackson and Isaiah West need time, in my opinion. And I think they're going to get that pretty extensively on Saturday night, again, with an eye on the Big Ten schedule.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, the whole offense needs time to figure out exactly who they are. There's a lot of guys playing for the first time, a lot of guys in roles that they haven't had before. And so that's going to take time for everyone. Julian Sain, as nearly perfect as he's played, like he's going to continue to get better. So will the running backs. Number two is if Isaiah West and Bo Jackson pass C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples, then great. You know what I mean? Like that's not a problem. That's a good thing to have occur. If your young guys are that good, it's not necessarily an indictment of the others. Number two or three, James Peoples has, 18 carries on this season in two games. It's not as though he's had a whole bunch of opportunity to get going in these games. I would bet, and I'm not going to bet because we're not allowed to make prop bets in Ohio on college football players, but...
Well, you're in Michigan. Right now, you're
fine. I am in Michigan, so I can do it. But his season-long carry is 12 in the first two games. I think James is going to have three carries of more than 12 yards on Saturday. So I'm not taking your BP here, but I am going to expound upon it.
Why you just keep piggybacking?
I can't help it.
That's fine.
We're here to talk about all these guys that we're talking about, and James Peoples, like. The expectation for him coming into this season was through the roof. And I think it's comical or sad or maybe a little bit of both how people jump off bandwagons so quickly just because the first game or two doesn't look as clean as you'd think or because the workload. Running backs need the football to get going. They need to get into a rhythm. They need to see the field. They need to be able to get comfortable in the offense. They need to get some momentum going. And James, I don't think he's really had that opportunity. And I don't know that he will all season, to be honest, because I think that the way that the roster breaks down, it opens up the door for other guys to play regularly. But certainly the talent is there. And I don't know that Ohio has the athletes to stop a guy like James Peoples if he gets to the outside, if he hits the hole that he needs to.
Yeah, I completely agree with you right there. And it's not... I've tried to make this point throughout the week and keep that in mind with the way we've talked about the running backs. Like, Texas is separate. Like the game, they didn't even try anything to the perimeter. They were limited. They leaned so heavily on C.J. Donaldson because there wasn't that like first time factor, the first timeness that Ryan Day has called it. That still existed for James Peoples, even with a year on the program and getting some work a year ago. You know, it was not high leverage in the moment opportunities against college football playoff contenders. And so that again, positioned him a week ago as like week one for him. Even though he played and contributed and had some yardage against the Longhorns, like this is all still a building process for him. And sometimes we want it to be easy and we want it to be instantaneous that you just go out there and the impact happens. And that's not realistic and not fair to assume that that's going to happen. But all the things that we've liked and hyped about James Peoples for the last year and a half, they still very much exist. So now's that period where you start building and you start tapping into that potential, which you think could happen for some veterans on the defensive line.
I think we have seen in the first 2 weeks, two guys really stand out above the rest of the defensive line contributors, and that's Caden and Caden. So I figure, okay, then why not have more opportunities for Caden and Caden? So I think you're going to have a combined quattro sacks from these two dudes. So yes, that's a 6-sack game that I'm predicting for Ohio State. Two by Sonny, two for each, 4 total from these guys, maybe 2.5 for Caden Curry, 1.5 for Caden McDonald. These two have dominated. They've played a lot of snaps when it's been the high leverage snaps in the first two games. Not that there were that many high leverage snaps against Grambling. They've both been extremely productive. I think other than those two players, as I'm trying to be fair to the defensive line based on what we've seen in the first 2 weeks, I'm trying not to overreact to the lack of productivity from other people, but I don't want to just look past the productivity of Caden and Caden, because these two have played exceptionally well. I think that a player like Parker Navarro is a real problem for defensive ends generally that are like super aggressive. And Caden Curry certainly is that way, but he's also like a kind of weirdly controlled aggression. He plays smart. He gets to the quarterback quickly. I think these two are going to have a big day, and I whether it's 4 sacks total between the two of them, I think there's like 5 or 6 tackles for loss coming from these two guys. I really think they're in for a big game because they've earned it. And these are the two that have been the standard bearer for the defensive line in the first 2 weeks. And I don't see any reason that's going to stop against an Ohio team that is likely going to put the ball in their quarterback's hands quite a bit in the run game and pass game.
So you've talked about Parker Navarro's legs and ability to be a rushing threat and extend plays. You talked about the game plan being more similar to Arch Manning with like controlled discipline, pocket building, and not letting them get out. And then you just decided 6 sacks are happening. This is a fascinating thought.
Because sacks happen not necessarily the same way all the time. The sacks we've seen for Ohio State in the first 2 weeks have both been when quarterbacks are getting out and scrambling. I think that's where you're going to see these. I see a scenario where Parker Navarro tries to step up in the pocket and thinks he has a run lane, and then there's Sonny Styles there, so then he has to circle back around. And I think it's going to be like scramble sacks. It's not like drop back and sack him in 2.1 seconds before he hits his third steps type sacks.
So he might be able to outrun the Rutgers defense or West Virginia, but probably not as good of an idea to try that against Arvel Reese and Sonny Styles and Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, and again, Ohio's done a nice job. They had 200 yards rushing against Rutgers, but again, 90 of those were Parker Navarro. They had how many yards rushing against West Virginia? They had 182, but 100 of those were Parker Navarro. They're going to try to mix it up, but ultimately, if they have any chance to make it a close game, it's going to be entirely riding on the arms and legs of Parker Navarro. And I just think he's in for a long day.
Well, I agree with you. It is all on Parker Navarro. And when it comes to his arms, you've got his legs covered. I think Davis and Igbinosin and the BIA group will have his arms covered as well. And I can't get out of my mind the 3 second half interceptions. Like Ohio really dominated that game physically, should have won much more comfortably than they did. And it was those turnovers and the passing game issues that they had that held them back from doing so. In West Virginia,
only had 250 yards. I'm like flabbergasted at what they did in that game offensively against Ohio. Like Ohio's, they must have had a really beautiful scheme that day. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't think West Virginia is very good in their rebuild there. But when it comes to those turnovers, West Virginia's secondary does not come anywhere near the talent, production, experience creativity, schematic creativity from Matt Patricia, Tim Walton, Matt Guerrieri. I think Parker Navarro is going to be in for a world of hurt trying to throw the football on Saturday against the Buckeyes. I think Davis Nigbinosin will be the biggest beneficiary of that. I've got him for 2 interceptions. I think that Ohio State is going to get 4 of them overall. So I was also going to include 1 for Jalen McClain and this other safety that the Buckeyes have who is just going to pop up all over the field. Keep an eye on number 2. His name is Caleb Downs. I think he's very good. And
4 interceptions?
I think there's going to be 4 interceptions.
And you think Ohio State's only going to score 48 points?
I think it's going to be, you know, I think they'll move the ball. I think Parker Navarro will string together some first downs. And I think he'll get away at times. And
how many punts will Ohio State have on Saturday? That's the question. Because if Ohio is going to turn the ball over 4 times.
Yeah.
And Ohio State only has 48 points. So that means the Buckeyes are being exceptionally inefficient when it comes to scoring off of turnovers. So what?
I believe that Ohio will have some time of possession. And I think Ohio State, with the emphasis on the run game, I don't think it's going to immediately translate to 75-yard touchdown runs and drives that are over like that. I think that this will be one of those games where the tempo is scaled back. You limit the reps. I don't think we're going to see a ton of the no huddle. Maybe I'll be wrong about that. But I don't think this will be one of those overextended games. We might be in it on Saturday night at some time, be like, huh, why have they only had the football 4 times at the end of the second quarter? Ohio might have, you know, Parker Navarro will run for a couple first downs, and then that drive will end with an interception. Ohio State will take its time going to the other end of the field. I understand your point. It is a valid one. My script maybe doesn't make any sense, but I don't think that we're going to see a ton of like big hitting 1 or 2 play scoring drives from Ohio State. And it may, you know, lend itself, if you have those turnovers, maybe you return them for a touchdown, then suddenly it becomes 60-7. Like, yeah, that's certainly not out of the question with the talent disparity between these two teams. But with what they're working on offensively, and we have not seen the run game truly hit, I think it may be a string of 7, 8, 9-yard runs and not necessarily a bunch of explosives. It's a good question because I can understand why it doesn't make sense to you, but those turnovers might be coming at the end of drives, and then Ohio State just marches right back down the field.
Yeah, I'm just interested. I mean, from an Ohio standpoint, they gave up 4 yards a carry to Rutgers. They gave up 2.3 yards a carry to West Virginia. They committed 10 penalties against West Virginia. They turned the ball over 3 times in the second half and still won 17-10. Clearly, West Virginia was not. I don't know enough about them as a program to say whether or not they're going to be terrible all year long, but that's a bad, bad game for West Virginia. And I don't know how much of that was forced by Ohio because we weren't able to really watch it. But at the same time, like, it just seems like West Virginia could have easily played that game a whole lot different. So I'm fascinated by what we're going to see with OU because they're going to be confident. And Ryan Day talking earlier this week about, you know, all the kids from Ohio are going to come in with their hair on fire. That lasts for only as long as Ohio State lets it last. And so
right.
The Buckeyes are going to have to establish early that they are not West Virginia.
I think that's pretty well established already on its own, but we'll find out if that transpires once they get into 7 p.m. at kickoff time. You've got all day to get ready. You've got all day to sign up for Peacock. If you're not going to be at the Horseshoe, make sure you do that. That is the only way you can watch Ohio State on Ohio if you are not going to be at Ohio Stadium, where Berman and I will be on Saturday afternoon for the pregame keys. I will be hanging around afterwards to do some snappy J's and the notebook. Looking forward to this. It's the final non-conference game, final tune-up opportunity for the Buckeyes before they get that off week. Probably going to be called an improvement week. And then they head out west for that Big Ten opener at Washington. Thanks for joining us all week long on the Austin and Berm Show. All the coverage getting ready for this one. We're really excited for it. And we hope you stick around to hear us talk about the Buckeyes and Bobcats and Brutus removing the head from Rufus's body, which I think just has to happen. Thanks for joining us for some bold predictions. It is Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day and the weekend. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll see you at the Horseshoe on Saturday night.